Hey Tacoma, John Doherty here with Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate always respectfully and mostly optimistically. My optimism comes from the fact that we know what to do about climate change. So I said mostly optimistic, and full disclosure, sometimes I'm not optimistic. The source of that pessimism or worry is that we are moving ahead. While we are moving ahead, we aren't moving ahead fast enough to avoid the worst of climate change, but that worry is a subject for another day. My guess is that most people who listen to this program are climate aware, concerned or alarmed, and I'm personally alarmed at the state of our climate and our environment in general. And that alarm stems from the fact that we are not taking care of our environment. We're acting as though we can extract and pollute forever. We can't. Yet there are so many pressures to continue doing just what we're doing, in fact, to accelerate what we're doing in our endless search for endless growth. And when I say we, I mean we as a species. And looking at this tough situation as a climate-aware person, it's easy to start pointing the finger at other people. The Chinese, the Indians, the Russians, countries where population is growing rapidly, conservatives in our own country and others. Climate science deniers pretty much all over the place, countries where climate awareness is somewhere near zero. Lots to point at. So easy for us as climate-aware people to be smug in what we know, that we know what's happening, and others either don't or can't see it or refuse to see it. It's a convenient and, in a way, comfortable perspective. Why comfortable? Well, because it lets us off the hook, a subtle form of denial. What can I do in the face of all these barriers, these human barriers to moving ahead with climate change mitigation? Full disclosure, once again, I have these thoughts often, and it takes some determination to keep going and seeing what the barriers are at the same time. So if this is something you experience, you have my understanding. In the face of these worries, perseverance is called for. Perseverance is the heroic courage not to give up when the going gets rough, but to continue exerting effort consistently to the end. Perseverance gives us the strength to finish what we've started without getting discouraged, and it helps us to overcome feelings of inadequacy and the adopting of hopelessness or procrastination. It enables success in accomplishing our task, the addressing of climate change, probably the most difficult task we'll ever take on, and it helps us to keep going in our efforts to help others, to be compassionate even with those who oppose us. Good old Frodo, in his journey with the ring to Mount Doom, persevered in the face of seemingly overwhelming odds, and that's the only reason he succeeded. Each of us as climate-aware folks can benefit from emulating Frodo's perseverance. An important point, Frodo persevered without knowing what the outcome would be, with the outcome always being in doubt, just like it is around climate change. And remember, all great victories were almost great defeats. So let's talk about conservatives and climate change for a minute. First off, just as those who call themselves liberals or progressives are not a monolithic block, neither are conservatives. There's a spectrum of conservatives, and in our own community, 30%+ of conservatives are climate aware and understand that climate change is human caused, and as such, it's up to us to do something about it. Those conservatives do tend to favor efforts like placing a price on fossil fuel emissions, with the money collected going back to the populace in a cashback format. And the reality is that this is a darn good idea according to the overwhelming majority of economists who have studied the subject. It's probably the fastest way we can reduce CO2 and methane emissions, and the science says we need to be moving way faster than we are. And while progressives worry about the impact on individuals and families on the lower rungs of the economic ladder in the face of increased costs for carbon, studies show that the cashback dividend concept means that the bottom 60% of individuals and families will more than likely be better off after the fee and dividend than before. The reason for that is that most families tend to be less fossil fuel in their practices than the affluent. So in a certain sense, a notion of a carbon fee and cashback addresses perspectives on both the left and the right, the desire to address climate change and be climate just at the same time. And as fate would have it, there is legislation in the Senate considering just this kind of approach to climate change. One of the leading bills is the Save Our Future Act, introduced by Senators Whitehouse of Rhode Island and Schatz of Hawaii. This particular bill puts a price on fossil fuel pollutants. The money from the fee goes as direct payments to Americans, investments in frontline and fossil fuel communities, and block grants to states. I'll have a link in the program notes at the end of the show where you can do your own research on pending carbon fee and dividend legislation. And I think it's appropriate to add that a price on fossil fuel pollution has a powerful Justice Act aspect to it. Is it just that fossil fuel companies can shift the pollution caused by their product upon the general public, reducing their own costs and increasing their own profits, while others pay the cost of pollution? That's not right. And a fee on fossil fuel pollution goes some way to addressing that injustice, an injustice that falls most heavily on folks on the lower end of the economic scale, people who can't afford homes in tony gated neighborhoods far from the utility plants and industry. But that's the 30% of conservatives who are climate aware and support a price on carbon. What about the other 70%? It's easy and natural for climate aware folks to wring their hands in despair at the stubborn resistance to accepting the science of climate change from deniers. But be careful here. Research shows that climate aware folks can be just as biased as the climate deniers. One study surveyed both conservatives and progressives on their perception regarding whether the climate was changing where they lived. While conservatives tended to dismiss unusual weather events as having anything to do with climate change, not a surprise really, in that they deny the existence of human-caused climate change in the first place, progressives tended to overestimate how much weather events in their community were affected by climate change. Climate advocates are as likely to misjudge climate change impact on weather as climate deniers. We're human beings and our biases are there whether we like it or not. So knowing that makes it easier to be tolerant of the biases of others. So we take as a given that wringing our hands and allowing climate science deniers to block efforts to mitigate climate change is not a good approach. So what would be a better approach? Well, the very first thing is a conversation with climate science deniers. In those conversations, start off by listening to understand what it is they have to say, why they have the perspective they do. And I'm talking about authentic understanding, not understanding of the type. So, let me see if I got this right. And underscoring that understanding another person's perspective is a lot different than agreeing. We tend to conflate the two, but they are different critters altogether. So let's pause here a second to review some significant change in perspective that we've taken in the past. Looking at myself, those significant changes happen over a long period of time. They have certainly never happened by somebody trying to browbeat me into submission. I recall during my college years as seeing somebody with an aphorism on a notebook that said, "Just because you've silenced me doesn't mean you've convinced me." Exactly. So part of the meaning is influencing a climate change denier is a long-term proposition that requires the willingness to understand, that requires the ability to be gentle and patient. Doing that doesn't guarantee success, but it does make success possible. And there is good evidence that shows that conservatives who may be deniers when it comes to climate change are often concerned about having a clean and healthy environment, an environment that they may recollect from years ago when environmental pollution was not as obvious or as profound as it is now. So a significant majority of conservatives, for instance, believe that carbon dioxide should be treated as a pollutant, that utilities should be held responsible for not only carbon dioxide, but the other pollutants they put into the atmosphere. So if you're talking to conservatives, better to talk about the environment from their perspective than to try to hammer them into submission to taking your perspective. To put it a little differently, our goal should be to be effective, not to be, quote, right, unquote. So in mentioning bills in Congress, I want to urge you to communicate with your senators and your representative regarding your worries and concerns about climate change. Phone calls and emails are easy. They're well received on the other end and they make a difference, especially if your comments are tied to a particular piece of legislation. And keep in mind that Senator Maria Cantwell sits on the Senate Finance Committee, which is a key committee right now in terms of climate legislation. So when thinking about making a call or sending an email, do you wonder how effective your voice can be? Just one person? Well, the least effective voice is the voice that is never raised. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, and the reality is that our elected representatives do pay attention to what constituents are saying. And looking further downstream, the election in 2022 will be critical to the nth degree in terms of the future of managing fossil fuel emissions and related climate change issues. Our state and national representatives here in Tacoma are climate aware. So while they deserve our support, in a certain sense, our energy regarding the 2022 election will be well spent in working towards getting climate-aware politicians elected elsewhere. Right here in Washington State, Representative Kim Schreier has been targeted by climate denier elements, so there is a place close to home where we might make a difference. And looking further afield, there are a lot of great organizations that we as Tacomans can support where the outcome between electing a climate-aware politician and a denier is up for grabs. Organizations like the Environmental Voter Project, Rock On, When We All Vote, and the League of Women Voters. There are plenty of others. None of these organizations is politically Democratic or Republican. They are nonpartisan organizations that encourage people to express themselves via the ballot. I'll have links to those organizations in the program notes also. So you can find those program notes at ccltacoma.org. Just look for the link that points to KTAH, and you'll find those program notes for this and other shows. And speaking of other shows, keep in mind that Climate Talk and other locally produced programs are archived on the KTAH 101.9 website. Just do an internet search for KTAH 101.9, check under programming, and you'll find the archives. Listen on your own timeline. And you can contact me with program ideas or comments at John, J-O-H-N, at ccltacoma.org. That CCL part is for Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm active with Citizens Climate Lobby. Check it out. You might find some serendipitous connection there. If not CCL, join your voice with others, with some other group working politically for climate change. And look for program notes at ccltacoma.org. So it's been great talking with you today. As always, keep the faith, baby, and always live like the mountain is out. Take care now.